You're listening to Dr. Ann West on Truth from the Source, bringing you cutting-edge interviews discussing important life, health, environmental, and metaphysical issues that could affect the well-being of our lives. Join me every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on bbsradio.com. From the Source, and I have Howard Wills with me today as my guest. Howard, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Anne.
It's always fun to interview you and to talk with you and hang with you because you're just a bundle of energy and useful information.
Thank you very much. It's always my pleasure to be around you and be with you.
And I'm so happy that you've moved to Kauai. Here we both are in the middle of this Pacific Ocean with miles and miles away from anywhere else on the planet.
No, isn't that wild?
It is wild.
Yeah.
We are the furthest We are the furthest away from any landmass than anywhere else in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
And especially being on Kauai, because we're the most northern island, and we live on the North Shore, which is the north of the North Island.
Yeah. So we're in the most remote area on Earth.
Yeah.
How about that?
Isn't that amazing?
Pretty wild.
So from this little island in the middle of nowhere, we are putting out this information to the planet because it's really important, the work that you do, and to allow our listening audience to have an opportunity to even call in, talk with you, and talk about some health issues. So periodically, Howard, I'm going to give out the phone number that people can call in on if they feel the need to.
Okay.
And that number is 888. It's a toll-free number, 888-268-4313. Now, let's let our audience know, Howard, a little bit about your background, and because it's quite fascinating how you became a world-class healer and have had actually miraculous healings done through you. How did you become a healer? What happened to you?
Well, first, I'd like to say that I really never call myself a healer, per se.
What do you call
but
yourself?
People refer to me as a healer because the results that happen around this work that is done, which is actually a simplified form of a prayer, and the work achieves usually or brings about some pretty amazing results for people in their lives, concerning their lives and also concerning their health. And all my life I've been interested in health, and I remember, you know, from back when I was like 5 years old, contemplating health, thinking about health, and just all my life I've meditated on it. When I was probably 12 or 13, I started kind of looking at herbs and things like that, and as I got older, I became interested in massage and more interested in the body, and then at an older age got into more the spiritual and deeper insights into the human organism. So probably around the age of 18, 19, 20 is when I had an experience that kind of opened me up and gave me insights into how to assist people with their things that they have going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually came through an experience that happened with the sun in the sky.
I know that something really special happened to you at that time when you were in college. And
yes. I was going to the University of South Carolina in Columbia, South Carolina, where I'm from.
And it was an ordinary day.
Yeah, ordinary day, and I was walking across this little bridge that went across the campus, crossing over what is called Pickens Street. And as I got to the other side of the bridge, it was kind of like something spoke to me and said, "Look to your right," and I did. And it said, "Go to that grassy hill," and I did. And then it said, "Lie down and align your body with the sun. Point your feet at the sun and look toward the sun and close your eyes and open your hands and draw the light of the sun into your body through your eyes, through your closed eyes, and through the palms of your hands with your breathing." And I did that filling myself up with light. It was like I was taking direction during this time. And filling myself up with light for like 30 to 40 minutes, and then I fell asleep. And I became like this ball of light, or like a cocoon of light, just totally just like this big white light. And I just fell asleep, and I slept for like 3 hours. And I woke up 3 hours later and had missed a couple of classes, and, you know, and I sat up. And
yeah, I bet you did miss a few classes.
Yeah, I missed a few classes, and I sat up, and I looked around, and people were walking by, but suddenly they became like transparent forms of energy that you could see through, like cellophane, but in the shape of the body. It's pretty strange.
Huh. So they became like opaque, or?
They were clear, like cellophane. You could see right through them, but they were in the identical shape of the body.
And you could see the nerves and muscles and the bones?
No, it was just energy. It was just an energy form.
Oh, so you could
form.
See through
it
them like
nothing
they were
but just an energy form
uh-huh.
in the shape of the body.
Uh-huh.
And then a little later, they became like a egg-shaped sack of water with light in the water, like floating in the water.
Uh-huh.
And then a little later, they became like an electrical grid system that was actually functioning the heart and the chest area rather than functioning out of the brain. And I feel like what I was being shown was the different dimensional states that we exist in simultaneously, all of them existing at the same time. It's just part of the nature of what we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was given a kind of a knowledge and maybe just an understanding, and then I started applying the understanding and assisting people and helping people to deal with their matters, their physical problems or whatever that they had going on in their lives.
So you had this experience at 20, and then...
20.
At 20, right. And
yep.
then, so how did you start implementing what had been given to you, and did you even know yet what it was that you had been given?
Well, it was like a knowing. When I woke up, I had a knowing.
Uh-huh.
I had this deep understanding and just this permanent knowing. I guess a knowing concerning the condition of the human organism.
Uh-huh.
Or just the human organism itself. So then I was in a kind of a state of bliss and kind of ecstatic state, and
mm-hmm.
everything was beautiful. It didn't matter what it was. Everything was just totally beautiful. And I was in this state for about 6 weeks, and then I actually ran into my sixth grade girlfriend there at college, and she told me that this friend of ours that went to grammar school with us was dying of several forms of cancer, and he was about to kick the bucket. And I just thought to myself, you know, he's not going to kick the bucket. And I went home and I called him. She told me I should go see him. Well, I went home and I called him.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, I know something that might can help you. He said, please come over. So I went over and spent about an hour and a half with him and shared some information with him. And then I went back and saw him the next day and for another hour and a half or so and just assisted him and actually worked with him and worked on him without touching him and just speaking to him a little bit. And I asked him, how long do you want it to be before you until you're well? And he said, I'd like to be well in 30 days. Now, the interesting thing about him, he was 20 years old too,
uh-huh.
and he had had cancer for 7 years, and he was on his deathbed, and he had wasted away to being 60 pounds.
Wow.
So he's a 60-pound man who's now weighs about 145 or 50 pounds, 33 years later.
Oh.
And he's alive and doing well.
Oh.
Yeah, at the end of 30 days, he was well.
Interesting how he chose 30 days.
Yeah, well, if you saw him, you would understand, you know, you might better give it a little time for the...
Yes.
For the healing, because he was like a day or less away from being dead. He'd been sent home to die with his family.
Where does someone's belief come into this? Because I'm sure that...
That's a good question, Ann.
Yeah.
Belief, where belief fits in, as far as this kind of work goes, is a person that believes will allow someone to attempt to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really where belief fits in, because you can believe in something and believe that something is going to help you, but it may or may not help you. See, you can believe with all your might, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that belief does provide is it provides opportunity for the person to receive. So people that are open and people that believe in possibility, those are the ones that can receive, you know, the help a lot of times, because they're open to receiving help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people believe that nothing's going to help me, then they're not going to seek any help, you know?
Right.
And if they believe, if they have a bad attitude towards somebody that's trying to assist them, well, that's not going to encourage the person that's trying to assist them to pour their strongest energy into helping them, you know?
Yeah.
Because helping somebody is, you know, I mean, it becomes a kind of an energetic thing with the person that's working on the person. Because, like, if somebody has a bad attitude with me, I mean,
mm-hmm.
why does that really encourage me to want to help somebody or to want to assist somebody?
Right.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
But if somebody has a sweet attitude, then it enlists my service and makes me want to go to bat for them and really help them get somewhere.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that people should keep that in mind when they're looking for assistance. You know, the world is almost 7 billion people in the world, and I'm sure that there are people that can help everybody and that people can get help,
mm-hmm.
unless people just are ready to go as far as, you know, life and health and, you know, just...
Mm-hmm.
You know, living and dying. I mean, if a person wants to go, that's fine. God bless them. Let them do
mm-hmm.
what they want to do.
And I
but
think
if a person wants
choice,
to stay and they want to be assisted, then help them.
We do make that choice of whether, you know, I think when we've just had enough or, you know, ready to check out. And
that's right.
And I think it can be even a gradual thing for some people.
You're right.
They go through disappointments or whatever in life. What would you... Let's talk about that a little bit, Howard, because that is something that... You know, I've seen happen to people where they've just slowly lost interest. And there's a part of them that knows, because I think we're totally conscious of that.
Yeah.
Whether we want to admit it or not. But what would you say to our audience if they've felt that they've had that kind of... It's almost like a depression.
Yeah.
That kind of sweeps over them. How would they lift from there?
Okay. So... what I'd like to share with your audience is that we are like storage vessels of information, positive and negative, positive energy and negative energy, you know, blissful
mm-hmm.
energy and painful energy.
Mm-hmm.
And our energy is not necessarily just our own, but it is what we have inherited through our lineages, our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
We are like a genetic seed of what we came from. And so it's all kind of passed down to us, positive and negative, grace and burden. And, you know, we are, you know, people say we're 70% water. Some people say we're 98% water. But we're somewhere in that range. We're mainly a body of water.
Mm-hmm. Depending on our age as well.
Yeah. We're pretty much water, and in water you can store memory. So we're like a walking living biocomputer with all this information of the ages stored in us, and then the information of our life stored in us.
Right.
And as an organism, as we go through life, we kind of fill up, and our cup starts filling over. And when we fill up with burden, you know, the burden of the lineage and then the burden of our life, then we, and pain, then we kind of get saturated with that and we become exhausted and the machine starts wearing down, you
mm-hmm.
see. So what I've found is that people can renew and kind of free themselves of a lot of that baggage through very specific types of prayer or, you know, what, aphorisms or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, affirmations.
Affirmations, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I had these experiences, I was given these, I was inspired to write these prayers and also affirmations that, you know, had to do with this information that I received while having these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put this information down, and it concerns cleansing your lineage and then cleansing your life.
Uh-huh. So if somebody had a disease or some kind of illness that was genetically or hereditary brought down to them, then this would be something they would want to work on. And depression and that kind of stuff can be genetic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're carrying a bunch of burden inside yourself, it's going to make you feel bad.
Right.
And if you can do things that would correct the burden or release the burden or dissipate the burden, then you're going to feel better.
Right.
And these prayers and affirmations, I think I wrote them in about 1997 or something like that, 98.
Yeah.
People can use them. They're free. They're on the Internet. I have a website. It's called howardwills.org. And the prayers are free, and there's, you know, I'm supposed to give the knowledge to the world free for people just to download and use in their lives, and if they apply it, take the information, study it, and apply it, then they'll get very good results with their health and with their life.
Now, Howard, that is very generous of you to do that, and I know that you also do healings long distance, even on the radio. We've done it on the radio before when we've done the whole of Kauai.
That's right.
and surrounding states.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, didn't we?
We did, and we had some great results, too.
Yeah, people had some.
But if somebody wanted to work with you that, say, they're in Alabama or Mississippi, I mean, you can't be spending all your time doing it for free. So, you know, obviously, do you do sessions on the phone that they can send you?
Well, what I do generally is people can, you know, pay whatever they feel is worth to them and whatever they can afford. If they don't have money, then I work with them free. But probably, I don't know, 50% of what I do or more is probably free.
Uh-huh.
But that's fine. I mean, as long as, you know, when you do positive things, of course, you're looked after by the light.
Yeah, you're paying it forward.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
So we're perfectly willing to help anybody listening to this radio show. We don't care if they're in Africa or in Russia or in Europe or in the Arctic Circle or down in Brazil or in these South Pacific Islands or in China or wherever, we can assist them right now, instantaneously, with very little speaking, and their bodies can have ordinarily and normally a nice physical transformation.
Well, I'm going to give out this number again if somebody does want to call in. It's 888, which is a toll-free number, 268-4313. Howard, these prayers that you were given, it's almost, can we say that they were channeled into you? Or?
Well, let's say they were inspired.
Inspired.
Because I was led to write them and pretty much directed to write them because I was told, you know, there was one of me and, you know, 6 or 7 billion people in the world, and one person can't do it all, but you can leave a body of information that people can utilize to help themselves with their troubles and problems. So that is what the idea was and is to just put this information down and give it to the world free and let the world help itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we can't do it. You and I cannot do it for everybody, but we can help, but we can't do it for everybody. People have to do it for themselves.
Absolutely.
And this is a methodology where people can help themselves, and they can see the results and they can measure the results, and it's has to do with their own effort and their own energy, their own work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but actually it becomes more of a pleasure than a work, because when you speak these words, it renews people and
can we do one on the air now?
Say what?
Can we do one?
Sure, of course.
How about the ancestral one?
Oh, you mean can we do one of the prayers?
Yeah.
Sure, we can do affirmations, or let's do the first one, let's just do an affirmation with no mention of God or anything like that.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And what you do is you just speak the words. And
we speak them out. You say we when you say speak them, we repeat them out loud.
Yeah, you just repeat them out loud. And I'll give you the words, and then you say the words. And then anybody on the line that would like to say, you know, anybody that's listening,
mm-hmm.
they can say the words as well, and they can experience what's happening to them as they say these words.
Okay, so okay? I'll do it with you.
Say what?
I'll do it with you.
Okay, so what we're doing is we're thinking about all the people in your life. Your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, uncles, cousins, lovers, your friends, male, female, children, everybody. All people in your life, okay?
Okay.
That's who we're talking about.
All right.
And just say these words. I forgive you all.
I forgive you all.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
And let's forgive ourselves.
And let's forgive ourselves.
Please.
Please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To all the people in my life.
To all the people in my life.
I forgive and release you all.
I forgive and release you all.
Please forgive and release me.
Please forgive and release me.
And let's forgive and release ourselves.
And let's forgive and release ourselves.
Please.
Please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To all my family.
To all my family.
And all people in my life.
And all people in my life.
I forgive and release you all.
I forgive and release you all.
I ask that you please forgive and release me.
I ask that you may please release and forgive me.
And I ask that we all please forgive and release ourselves.
And I ask that we all please forgive and release ourselves.
Please.
Please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, how do you feel?
Oh, I feel relieved.
You know, the lady that wrote the book, Codependent No More?
Yeah.
Melody.
Yes, I do.
Very nice lady.
Yes.
She called me the other day and asked, "Could she?" I worked with her recently, and she probably, I don't know, a year ago, and she said when we did the work together that it changed her. It actually helped her begin her healing process and helped her to do very well. And that was one of the things that I shared with her.
Uh-huh.
Just to every day say, I forgive you, please forgive me, let's forgive and release ourselves, please and thank you.
Yes.
And she's putting that in her next book that she's writing.
Melanie Beattie, wasn't it?
Yeah. Very kind, sweet, loving person. A person that's been through a lot, understands a lot about life, and she's very, very gifted person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, done a lot of
very
healing.
Very kind, very, very strong, nice person.
Why, Howard, when this information came to you, had you been asking for it? I mean, some people, you know what? I had my own spiritual awakening, and people have asked me, well, why you? Why does it come to you and not to me? Why can't I get that?
Well, people have to desire it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People have to desire it. You desired it. I desired it. I desired to know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather, you know, I just wanted to go deeper. You know, we can, there's a lot of different paths that we can take. We can take, you know, the simple path. Or we can take the path that kind of bounces off the walls, and that's the path of learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you learn through experience, and you learn through kind of digging in, you know, and trying to go deeper. That's how you learn. You don't really learn if you don't put a little energy into it, you know?
Yeah, I think that fear is probably the number one blocker.
Fear blocks humanity every day, all day long.
That and not having enough time. For not making enough time.
Right. You're right. Very clear, Anne.
Yeah.
Fear is, you know, fear stops people from moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps them frozen.
False evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
False. What did you call that?
F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fear freezes people and keeps them from moving. And really, if people are moving, that's the best thing that they can do. Moving mentally.
How can you encourage someone to face their fears and move forward and through them?
Yeah. Definitely.
How would you do it?
How would I do it?
Yeah.
Well, you just talk about their fears.
let it out. Speak
about
it.
Yeah, that's all you do. You just talk about it. That's the best thing in the world, is just to speak. Don't sit on your words, but speak your words. You know?
Mm-hmm.
People push too many things down and don't allow, you know, themselves to express themselves enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that, a lot of times, creates trouble for people.
Yeah, feelings buried alive never die.
Yeah, there you go.
They just stay there and fester.
Yeah, it's unhealthy.
So speaking it out is really a big key to,
yes,
to releasing yourself and being able to move forward.
That's right. Speaking it out, and also speaking about whatever it is that's bothering us. You know, if you have a boss that's making you feel bad every day and all this stuff, just quit taking it. Just speak to your boss in an intelligent way and drop your fear and say, look, I want to work with you and I enjoy my job, and but I don't like this aspect of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's if you mistreat me, it's not good for you, because it's just harming you as much as it harms me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like for you to treat me better. You know, really the truth about our life as humans is that the key for all of us is our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If we go through life doing people wrong and doing ourselves wrong, we just wind up dead.
Right.
You wind up dead in the grave prematurely, and you have a lot of suffering and pain. But if people learn to live sweet, kinder, more loving, and more open lives, and actually drop a lot of our fear and kind of move into a higher level of being, which is, you know, like kind of dropping judgment and being open-minded and, you know, being loving toward all life, as, you know, as much as possible, then we start doing better.
Mm-hmm.
as beings.
Now, dropping judgment, that's towards ourselves as well as others.
Yeah.
Because we're probably our own worst critic at all times.
Yeah.
And we really beat ourselves up. And, you know, after seeing the movie, What the Bleep, 5 times.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, it sinks in eventually. You kind of get that every time you have a negative thought, you're sending out chemicals to all of the cells in your body, and you're they're all being bombarded by this chemical reaction.
That's right.
The same as when we have great, positive, inspiring thoughts.
That's
right. We're flooding our body with that.
That's right.
So we can't afford the luxury of a negative thought, right?
There you go. If we, you know, negativity just brings pain.
Mm-hmm.
I was speaking to a lady one time. Her name was Solve Clark. She used to be Uri Geller's manager.
Oh, wow.
I think maybe in the 70s or 80s or something like that.
Mm.
And Solve told me, she said, it takes 13 face muscles to smile and I think 27 face muscles to frown. So when you're negative...
Well, you work hard at frowning.
Yeah, if you're putting out the negative energy, you're using over twice the energy. See, and you're wearing yourself out. And what you put out, you get back. So when you put out the negative, you just get back negative energy.
Right.
But if you look around at people that smile a lot, they're using less than half the energy, and they're getting back the positive energy. So the people that walk around smiling look a lot younger, and they're not, you know, beat down and worn down and tore up. And I mean, you know, life is filled with beauty and beautiful things, and if we allow that, and you know, you look at humanity, and yes, there have been wars for eons, and yes, people have been killing and butchering each other, and people have been lying, cheating, and stealing, and doing all these things, but you know what? If you live by the grudge, and if you live by hatred and malice and all that, it just wears you out and kills you quick. But if you just peacemake over it and go on with life, and if you made mistakes in your life, just peacemake over it and go on and do better. See, create a better life with your thoughts, words, and deeds. Then life becomes sweeter and better. Because what we put out, we get back.
What do you mean peacemake over it?
Just let's say that you hurt somebody or somebody hurts you. You just call their name out and you peacemake with them. You say, please forgive me, I forgive you, and let's forgive ourselves. Please, thank you.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple and straightforward.
Yeah, I forgive you, please forgive me, let's forgive ourselves.
And
please,
it's instant.
And please and thank you are the magic words.
Gratitude.
Yeah, please and thank you are the magic words that our mothers taught us, and they achieve help us achieve magic results.
Absolutely. Dr. Emoto, you know, who wrote the wonderful book about the water crystals.
Yeah.
He says that when he, the most incredible results he got with changing the water into beautiful crystals, even dirty, dank water that came out of the Tokyo, the tap water, which
right.
was pretty gross. When he used the word thank you and an appreciation, it made the most spectacular crystal over and over again.
Yeah.
So what you're saying about please and thank you, it's so simple and it's kind of fundamental to life, the, you know, to really have a good life.
That's right.
Is really key. It's so simple.
That's right.
Very beautiful.
Now, Anne, think about this. In that you're 70 to 98% water, think about what would happen to you when you say thank you.
I say thank you to my body and my life and spirit. And of course, I do it to, you know, since thinking about that with Dr. Emoto's stuff, I've really practiced it.
Yeah, well, let's do it right now.
All right.
You see, because you're this huge drop of water, you know, not a huge, but, a, you know, 120-pound, 110-pound, 105-pound drop of water,
yeah.
So if you say thank you over and over again, imagine what it's going to do to that water.
Guys,
you ready for the experiment?
I'm ready.
We're just going to give you a few words, okay?
Okay.
And let's just repeat the words, and we welcome the audience to repeat the words with us.
Yes.
And then measure, just compare how you feel after you've done the words.
Okay.
So let's do the word thank you.
Okay.
Just say thank you.
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 Love.
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 Joy.
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 Peace.
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 Life.
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 Love.
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 Thank you.
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 Now, how's that?
Oh, I feel so full of joy and love and peace.
Yeah. How about that?
I feel elevated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was a big smile on my face when I was saying them, and I felt the sparkling from the inside fill me.
That is great.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being conscious with what we say and more conscious with what we think,
mm-hmm.
It's very important for people if they want to have sweeter, more joyful lives.
If we woke up every morning and said those words the way that we just did, every day, and said that before we went to bed every night, it would make such a difference in our vibrational frequency.
That's right.
And in our entire energy patternings, because
we're
into programming all of that.
That's right.
So we should do that. Was a good thing to do.
That's right.
Wow.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Simple and so powerful.
Yeah.
So,
and then if we said, I forgive you, all of you, please forgive me, all of you, and let's all forgive ourselves. Please.
Forgiveness.
Thank you.
forgiveness is key to our own health and well-being, don't you think, Howard?
Yeah.
I want to let our audience know, Howard, I'm talking with Howard Wills. And Howard, I really wish you had a book.
Yeah, I do have a book.
That you've written?
Yeah, but it's in Japanese.
It is?
Yeah.
What's it doing in Japanese?
Well, the Japanese people came to me and they asked me to write a book on healing.
Uh-huh.
So I did. And it's been in its third or fourth printing.
Well, that's
it's
great
called
for
Prayers
our Japanese
of Life.
Business. Now we want one in English.
Yeah, it's called Prayers of Life, and the book was written around the year 2000, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe 2002, something like that. And it was, I think it's about the year 2000. And, it was published by a company called Natural Spirit.
Out of Japan?
Excuse me?
Were they out of Japan?
Yes, out of Japan.
Uh-huh.
And one of Japan's top translators, Hiroshi Oichi, is the gentleman that translated it from English into Japanese.
Well, you have it in English, so it's just a matter of getting it published over here.
Yes, well, it was it was spoken.
Uh-huh.
And then he translated it from, you know, tapes or
yes.
whatever I had it on.
Yes.
Into the book, and then they published it in Japan.
Ah, I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I work with a lot of people in Japan. I work with groups of people in Japan. They'll get up, you know, 10 or 15 people,
mm-hmm.
and I work on the whole group at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I bet that's powerful.
Yeah, and I work on them long distance, and I don't speak to them. There's just communication over the Internet a couple times, and I work over them over a period of a week or so, every day, for like an hour or so.
Now, if somebody wanted to call you that was listening to this or had a friend or a family member that might use the healing work that you do, where would they call?
They could reach me in Kauai here. My number, I guess I could give out my phone number. Well, I have let me give you my L.A. number. It's because I check that phone every day.
Mm-hmm.
That number is 310-650-2733.
Okay.
310-650-2733.
So, Howard, maybe we should tell the audience about what happened when you did the healing seminar here. And my mother came with me
yep.
to see you.
Yeah.
And... you know, this was an amazing experience. I mean, we came to your workshop, and I'll let you go into it a little bit about how you...
Yeah, they were having a gathering, and these people asked me to speak, and there was... How many people were there, Ann? 50 or 60 people?
Yeah. Yeah, at least.
Yeah, maybe, what, 75?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a good number of people there, and these... this nice... man from, where is he from, the Netherlands or something?
Yeah, yes, Freddie.
His name was Freddie.
Yeah.
And he had asked me to come and be a part of this program, so I went and probably gave a talk for, what, maybe an hour or something like
yeah.
that? Yeah. Yeah.
Or longer.
Yeah, maybe an hour and a half, mm. whatever. And you were there, and your mother was there, and I noticed when they turned the floor over to me to speak, I was sitting in a chair there. And I generally, when I talk to groups, I just sit in a chair and speak. So we were at this nice lady's home here on Kauai. And I noticed that your mother had some pain in her body. And
mm-hmm.
Your mother's in her early 70s, early mm-hmm. to mid-70s, isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yeah. And so I noticed that she had some pretty, you know, long-standing pain.
Right.
Because I have a kind of an ability to see these things.
Yeah.
So I mentioned to her that she had, you know, a fair amount of pain, and I told her where it was. And she was kind of taken back by that a little bit, wasn't she?
She was, that you noticed her.
Yeah.
And that you called her up.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, she was sitting there right close to me, and so I told her to come sit in this chair beside me and made sure it was all right with her for her to receive this. And so when she said it was okay and she came up and sat down, I told her, I said, just face the group there and relax. And I said, we're going to take the pain out of your body in 1 second. And I asked her if that was all right. And she said, yeah. And then I asked the group, and they said, yeah, that was fine. So I held my hands up and snapped my fingers, and I said, how do you feel? And what just happened? And do you remember what she said?
Well, she said that she said, first of all, she goes, well, I feel a bit better. I feel the pain, and she starts moving her body around and her leg, and she said she actually had felt a relief of the pain. And then you said, well, let's go deeper, because you picked up that this was, that she had some anger towards her husband, my father, that had died.
Yeah.
And you asked her about something. You asked her something about forgiving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she gave you a look.
Yeah. She looked at me like, you better forget that. I'm not forgiving anybody. And I said, I think you need to get rid of this.
Yeah.
I think I saw the problem between she and your father.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was a pretty amazing what happened after that, because after you did the prayer with her, and she sat there in silence and didn't really know what to do with herself, because she's not used to getting that kind of attention.
Yeah.
And you had her up there for, like, I don't know, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Giving her all that attention. And then you asked her how she felt, and she opened her eyes, and she looked at everybody. And this is a woman who only recently has really started to say, I love you.
Right.
To anybody. To me,
you
know, now, with her grandchildren, my children, she says it, but, you know, it wasn't something that came easy.
Yeah.
And she opened her eyes and looked at the audience, and she just said, you said, how do you feel? And she said, I just love everybody in here, and I love you, to you. And then she looked at me, and she said, and I love you, too. And it was really the most, I'd never heard her say it in such a way.
Yeah.
And her eyes were full of tears, and she had no pain.
Yeah.
And that continued.
Yeah.
She stayed here at my home. She was visiting from England, and she stayed here for almost 7 months, and she saw you right at the beginning of her trip here.
Yeah.
And when she arrived from England, she was walking with a walking stick, and when she didn't have the walking stick, she had a walker.
Yeah.
And the walker we put away, and we put away the next day, I guess it was either that night, she put the walking stick down, and she never picked it up again the whole trip.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
And we have steps in our house that you have to go up and down. And you know what hit her was that you had spoken about thinking negatively and how negative thoughts create pain in our body.
Yeah.
And one day she came upstairs, and she had had a bit of a night the night before.
Yeah.
And when I say a bit of a night, she went into an old place.
Right.
And the next morning she had some pain.
Yeah.
And she came up to breakfast, and I said, I could see that she had some pain. The way she walked up the stairs, she was holding her hip. And I said, what's going on? And she says, I'm okay. And I said, what are you thinking? She said, what do you mean, what am I thinking? I said, well, are your thoughts negative or are they positive? Are you in a good space or not? And she looked at me like busted.
Yeah.
And she said, they've been negative. And I said, and you've got pain again.
Yeah.
And she said, that's it. I'm getting rid of it right now. And she started, she really made an effort, and the pain left again.
That's great.
It's really miraculous.
So she learned fast, didn't she?
She did.
And you helped her.
And you helped her.
Yeah, that's
we did.
Great.
We did. That's it beautiful. Was pretty amazing to see that. And I know that you've done that more than just here on Kauai. Maybe we could talk about some of your successes, because you've had some, you've really helped some people in need.
Yeah, it's been some pretty wild cases.
Which one stands out the most to you?
Well, they're all pretty wild because, you know, they're just, you know, they're kind of, most people just don't believe that these things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when they hear about these things happening, they don't believe it. And, you know, in my life, I've never really attempted to document anything or prove anything to anybody. I just do this work and just go about my business, you
mm-hmm.
know. But a lot of people have recorded a lot of the things, and a lot of people have, wanted to document and talk about it and this and that. But, you know, I just do the work, make the prayers, live my life, help people as they ask. And that's it. But some of the things that come to mind, and this is pretty outrageous things, you know. And I'm not particularly asking anybody to believe it or disbelieve it or anything. I'll just tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not particularly religious or not even particularly totally spiritual. It's just, this is just about intelligence. Life is about intelligence, you know, coming from a place of intelligence and getting out of the darker places and getting out of the places of ignorance and just
mm-hmm.
ascend to a higher level of intelligence. And you do that by paying attention to your thought, word, and deed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we kind of design our lives with our thought, word, and deed, then our lives become much more, you know, clear.
Mm-hmm.
Congruent, beautiful,
mm-hmm.
beautiful experiences. You know, if you're haphazardly throwing words around and there's a bunch of negative words and haphazardly just living your life in a haphazard way, positive one second, negative the next, that's
mm-hmm.
what you get. You get a haphazard life. But if you work to design your life gets just a lot sweeter.
Right.
So, one time I was in my family has a mattress factory back in South Carolina, and I worked there with them.
Uh-huh.
And I was helping them run the company for a long time. I still assist them in that, even though I spend a lot of time in Kauai.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, traveling wherever. But my home base is actually South Carolina,
uh-huh.
Where I grew up.
Yeah.
And but we're spending a good bit of time over here right now. So anyway, I was working there in the factory, and I got a phone call, and it was a man that I had met down in Florida, Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
He called me, and he said, I had worked on him and his wife before, and he got really good results down in Florida. And when I was on a trip with a guy named Henry Belk from Charlotte, North Carolina. And Henry was kind of a researcher into the paranormal and researcher into the healing arts. And he actually helped to introduce Uri Geller to the world, and he helped to introduce the Filipino psychic surgeons to the world, and he helped to introduce Arago of Brazil, the rusty knife surgeon of Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
And he introduced all kinds of things, you know, into the spiritual arena, into the world, into the public's eye. A beautiful person, very interesting person, and I had a wonderful time spending time with Henry during the last years of his life. And we met this man down in Fort Lauderdale on this trip with Henry. So the man called me, and he said his son was in New York City, and he was an aspiring actor, and he was in acting class in a kind of a high-rise building, and he had had an accident and put his head through a plate glass window and cut his head to the bone across his forehead, like a 4 to 5 inch gash all the way to the bone.
Wow.
Across his forehead. And so, and they were rushing him to the hospital. And I got details about what happened at a later time, but he called me and asked me, was there anything that I said, sure, I'll work on your son. So we hung the phone up. I worked on his son for about 2 minutes in silence, and then put my attention on him and then let it go.
Mm-hmm.
About 15 minutes later, he called me back and he said, "Did you work on my son?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, I'll call you right back." So then he called me back about 15, 20 minutes after that, and he said again, "Did you work on my son?" I said, "Yes." He said, "My God, what did you do?" I said, "I cleansed him. What I do with everybody." He said, "You're not going to believe what happened." I said, "What?" He said he had this terrible gash. He was covered with blood. The nurse got him and put him on a stretcher, and the nurse wrapped his head to stop the bleeding. His
mm-hmm.
shirt, his body was covered with blood. His head was covered with blood.
Mm-hmm.
They put gauze across his head and wrapped it tight on his head.
Mm-hmm.
The nurse did.
Yeah.
They put him in the ambulance, and they raced him to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
They took him into the emergency room. They had called this plastic surgeon off of the golf course,
uh-huh.
and he showed up in the emergency room in downtown New York City to work on this boy at this certain hospital there. The nurse that wrapped his head up started unwrapping his head, taking the gauze off, because
yeah.
she rode in the ambulance with him.
Uh-huh.
And they unwrapped his head, and as she unwrapped the head and took it off, the wound was gone.
No way.
Yeah, and his head was normal. There was no cut.
Wow.
Yeah, and the boy was covered in blood, and there was no cut. And the plastic surgeon thought they were playing a trick on him, and he got mad at everybody, you know? And the nurse didn't know what to say, and the boy didn't know what to say. And so that's what happened. And I talked to the boy about it, and I talked to the man about it. And they both recounted the story.
Howard, you have to write a book.
They just cleaned the blood off of him, and he was well. So that was an interesting case history. And there was another interesting case. I was in the warehouse again in my office at the mattress factory.
Mm-hmm.
And that company is called Southern Table and Bedding in Columbia, South Carolina. We've been manufacturing furniture and now mattresses for over like 55 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in my office and I get this phone call, and it's a friend of mine from L.A., Los Angeles, California.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a three-way call, and he has this nice Persian woman on the line. And the lady's daughter had this terrible car accident and had a severe head damage and severe damage to her body. And the girl was comatose.
Oh, wow.
And she had had this accident about a week before. And I think everybody thought she was going to die. And they gave her less than 20% chance of survival. And they said if she did survive, she'd probably be a vegetable.
Oof.
And, you know, and they didn't know what would happen. I mean, they speculated she may be in a coma for a year to 2 years because of the damage. They didn't know. But she had severe head damage, brain damage, broken shoulder, broken hip, broken ribs. Her liver and her spleen were messed up. She was just very damaged from this car wreck. And so the lady asked me, could I work with her daughter? And I said, sure. Now, the lady was in the waiting room of ICU. The daughter was in ICU and had been there for about a week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, just hold on. So I laid the phone down and worked silently on her daughter for about 2 minutes. I picked the phone up and I said, okay, I feel that your daughter is going to, I feel that your daughter will wake up in about 1 hour and that your daughter will do fine. So we hung the phone up, and sure enough, in 1 hour, the daughter woke up.
Wow.
And like 2 days later, she walked out of the hospital.
Really?
Yeah, walked out of the hospital, unassisted. And then, I mean, she went from damaged to being, you know, receiving that gift.
My goodness.
And so, and then I came to L.A. like a couple weeks later, and I was given a talk at a place called Maha Yoga in Brentwood.
Uh-huh.
And the guy that owns that, his name is Steve Ross. He's a yogi
uh-huh.
there. Very beautiful spiritual person. And I was giving this talk, and we were having a program. It was about 220 to 250 people probably in the room. That Mahayoga was packed with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared that story about the beautiful Persian girl and what happened and how she came out of the coma and had her health back. And right when I finished giving that story, these two people stood up and put their arm up in the air, and the girl said, "I'm that little girl." She was in the room.
No.
Yeah, with her mother. She was in the room with her mother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And I kind of kidded her, and I said, "Well, do you remember me?" She said, "No." Of course, I didn't expect her to remember
because you did this all on your own, right?
Say what?
You did that. You weren't in the room with her. She never met you.
No, no, I was in South Carolina.
Right.
She was in a coma in L.A. in Cedar Sinai Hospital.
Unbelievable. Well, it is believable. Not
believable,
it's believable.
Yeah, so she became well, and then, you know, and I heard later that, I mean, she's basically had no problems. She has all of her abilities, all of her functioning abilities. And
she's doing great. We're just about out of time. I want to let our audience know how to contact you.
Okay.
You can either go to howardwills.org.
Right.
Or the phone number to call Howard and leave a message is 310-650-2733.
That's right.
And that's your Los Angeles number.
Right. Now, you know, and I know that this kind of information, these kind of experiences are kind of, they're very shocking, really.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of, they could also be scary for people because, you know, when you're taught to believe that maybe, you know, these things are not possible, then mm-hmm. that can be pretty shocking if you were to witness something like that. I mean, it could throw you into,
mm-hmm.
you know, it makes you question your belief systems, you know, and people don't like to do that too much. So,
Right. But
if anybody is, looking for some kind of assistance or whatever, and they can actually just go to the website and download those prayers and those affirmations and start working with them, and they'll see huge results, huge results, helping themselves.
Yes.
That's really the fruition of the work.
Right.
The fruition of the work is do it for yourself, help yourself.
Right.
And that's, you know, when I hear that people have done that, that puts a big smile on my face because, you know, that's them helping themselves, and that's better.
And call you and leave a message and let you know the success they've had. Just so
yeah, they could do that. That's right. They could let me know. But I'm glad to help anybody if they need help, too.
Yeah, awesome. Howard, God bless you.
God bless you, too, Ann. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the interview and the time together. It's always phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you for your good work, and thank you for all your positive output that you put into the world.
You're so welcome. You take care, and let's get together soon.
All right. Thanks.
God bless.
God bless. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Dr. Ann West. I'll be back next week with more truth from the source. Join me again on bbsradio.com every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll bring you more cutting-edge interviews discussing important life, health, environmental, and metaphysical issues that could affect the well-being of our lives. Dr. Ann West at www.drannwest.com. See you next week.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.